It will come to pass that from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh will come in and prostrate themselves before my face, says Jehovah. That was verse 23, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23, from the version of Yours Truly from 2003, our daily scripture today. And for this day, little children, we have that scripture to consider. And in our article, The Ark of Urar to the Orient Express, Part 2, we're beginning Chapter 8, Paragraph 6 today, at the top of which is a photograph of a Youngman Neoplan articulated bus operating at the time on Beijing's Bus Rapid Transit, BRT, Line 1. Just to see in the picture, you can zoom in, you see the numeral 1, the Roman, not the Roman numeral, of course, the Arabic numeral. We use Roman letters, but Arabic numerals. Isn't that curious about the English language? But so that's the same numeral we would use, the numeral 1, in the English language to indicate the number 1. And so do the Chinese people also today use the same Arabic numerals that we do. Interesting, because Arabia is sort of in the area of Shinar. It's rather interesting now that I think of it. I never really have thought about that before. But at 11:27 hours on the day I wrote this, I wrote, how believable that Kainan, the great-grandson of Noah, had a grandson named Eber. Hereby, the fifth generation after Noah, sixth inclusive. And, of course, we have Noah, whose son was Shem. His son was Arpachshad. His son Kainan. His son Shelah. And his son Heber. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 generations inclusive after Noah, and including Noah. And this grandson of Kainan, named Eber, retained much of the early tradition from his forefathers. And his grandfather and father remained alive and at Eber's side during his first years, I wrote, as Emperor of China. It's rather curious that I wrote that, because we know so little about that time period, but I felt like I knew this at the time. This Chinese forefather, Eber, started on Shinar's own plains. Or, actually, wait a minute, Kainan. Yeah, right. Had a grandson named Eber, who retained much of the early tradition from his forefathers, and whose grandfather and father remained alive and at his side during his first years as emperor of China, started on Shinar's own plains. 11:47 hours, I wrote, this is only one thing we now try to investigate. We don't even have time to stop and consider grave doubts. I mean, I was really, really possessed with the need to record this information, and I didn't have time to consider all the grave doubts that I undoubtedly would have had if I'd stopped. 11:51 hours, I wrote, we do have time for Bible reading and recreation. Rather paradoxically, it seems, we didn't have time for doubts, but we had time for recreation and Bible reading. 2011, March 29th, 0905 hours. So this would be the next day then. So that was the 28th, those previous sentences. This is the 29th. At least I'm inclined to believe that. Is that true? Let's see. Yeah, the 28th was a date given just previously in the previous paragraph. Okay. So on the 29th at 0905 hours, the month of March 2011, I wrote, someone once addressed Jesus as, quote, good teacher, end quote. Quote, unquote, good teacher. With humility, Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, God. By J.P. Green, his literal version of the Bible. When offered weapons and armor, David tried, then refused them, saying, I have never tried them. That was from the Darby translation. At 12:39 hours, I then wrote, he, meaning David, was able to defeat Goliath without the things. He didn't need those extra things he was being offered, like Saul's weapons and his armor. He still defeated Goliath without those things that he had been offered. And he'd never tried them. He didn't want to use them. But this is interesting about Jesus. Why do you call me good? No one is good except one God. When we think about all the Psalms that David wrote about, you know, praying for forgiveness for the sins that David had committed, which we know were significant. He arranged to have a man killed, and he committed adultery with the wife of that man, and he did, you know, he knew that he had sinned. And yet Jesus was the complete fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. He was the personified Word of God, the one who had created all things, even as a pre-human spirit creature. He had been and done things that were, you know, prior to his time on earth, but he had come to earth as completely human and possessed of the all the things that entails. So, and he was the Word of God, which meant not only that he had created all things, but also that he was the personified Word of God, and he personified and fulfilled all of the Holy Scriptures. So we saw David write about how he'd sinned. So nowhere does it tell us that Jesus... Yes, it does in the Bible. It says he committed no sin, doesn't it? He committed no sin, right. But if he fulfilled all the Scriptures, then he must have prayed like David did for forgiveness, because he was a fulfillment of Scripture. He, in Psalm 51, I believe it is, but committed no sin. I think it's in Peter, maybe. Yeah, Peter. 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, nor was deception found in his mouth. So that is where we see that Jesus didn't commit a sin. And deception wasn't found in his mouth. But if deception wasn't found in his mouth, and he fulfilled all of the Scriptures, including Psalms 51, where we see in that psalm specifically that David had sinned because he said, thoroughly wash me from my error. For my transgressions, verse 3, I myself know, and my sin is in front of me constantly. David wrote this psalm, number 51. If Jesus fulfilled all of the Scriptures, then he must have prayed for forgiveness for his sin. That's part of it, part of what the Bible is about. So how could he then be, How could he have committed no sin, according to 1 Peter? He committed no sin that Peter knew about. That's what Peter is saying when he wrote that. Simon Peter wrote that book, that letter. 1 Peter. So, but Jesus may have known well about his own sin. He may have prayed, he must have prayed according to that psalm. He prayed, we know when he died, he quoted from, on the cross, when he was dying, he quoted from Psalms also. Not that particular one. But if he fulfilled all of it, it's, and he had come to earth as a human, then he either knew about his own sin or he was without sin, one or the other, right? It's a very interesting question. But I don't think, the thing is, I don't think it is, sin is not judged by what happens only at the time, by what happened, but it's judged by what happens later. When you look back, you see whether you sinned or not. So at the end of his life, since he died a perfect death, everything he'd done prior was perfect, made perfect by the end result of his death in the way that he died, which was sacrificial for the sins of all mankind. So this is what made him without sin. But during his life, he may well have felt that he committed sin. He had all the foibles of humankind that were in him, although he had a perfect genetic makeup from God, as the blood in the DNA test that Ron Wyatt performed showed that Jesus only had the sex chromosome of his father, Jehovah, which is a male sex chromosome, and he had all the chromosomes of his mother. So he only had 24 chromosomes, 23 from his mother and 1 from his father, Jehovah. He didn't have any chromosomes from his father, adoptive father, that is, Joseph, who had adopted him as his son, because he was born to a virgin, his mother Mary, right? So, I mean, this is what the Bible tells us, but the work of Ron Wyatt in doing the blood testing found that Jesus had a perfect, but still it wasn't perfect. He didn't have any chromosomes from his imperfect father, his human father, but he did have all the chromosomes of his mother, and she must have been born in sin like every other human after Adam and Eve were also born, which was in sin. They inherited the sin of their parents. So Mary must have had sin in her. So Jesus was born in sin to his mother, even though he was born to a virgin. It must be true he had sin in him, but he lived a perfect life and he defeated that sin. When offered, okay, so we've really covered something that was always sort of eating away at me, but there's also somewhere that, there's somewhere in Scripture where it talks about being made perfect. He learned obedience from the things he suffered. Yeah, that Scripture about Jesus learning obedience from the things he suffered, which implied he wasn't obedient all the time when he was younger. You know, he had to learn obedience. Huang Di, the one we call Heber, is very prominent in Chinese mythology, as we noted above, continuing our reading now, and is considered with Yan Di, an ancestor of the Han Chinese, which as a group may be said to be the largest single ethnic group in the world. Yan Di we call Shila, who is the father of Heber or Eber, and known in China as Shenong, the divine farmer. Here we see Yan Di, or Shenong, is the father of Huang Di, who is also Gong Sun Xuan Wan, who is the yellow emperor. So Yan Di is the flame emperor, and we rarely talk about him as the flame emperor, but that's such a an exalted title, the Flame Emperor, Shenong, whom we identify as Shelah in this table, in part one, table one, part one of the Ark of Urartu. Shelah, Shenong, and Yandi are all names for the same person, as are also Huangdi, Gongsun, Xuanwan, and Eber, or Heber. And they're known as the Han. Those two, Shenong and or Yandi and Huangdi, they're known as the Han Chinese, the Han Chinese. The divine farmer is this flame emperor. Yandi, we rarely have gotten to talk about him so far. That to me is exciting, just to consider the names of these emperors, like the flame emperor. How did he get that name? It makes us wonder, I think. It makes me wonder. Yandi was the name of the emperor, but the Han, or Han, make up 20% of the entire global human population. I think I read that. Well, I said something similar, or I wrote something similar when I wrote previously there. As we just read, the largest single ethnic group in the world, but 20% of the entire global human population, the Han make up. As descendants of Heber, Israel is from Shenong. Or Shenong in Chinese. And from Fu Shi Kainan, the father of Shenong, Chinese father. Also, Israel's from both Shenong and from Fu Shi. And Heber's family name is Gongsun, or his full name is Gongsun Xuanwan, translated as Equitable Son, Axle of the Cart. How a son of Shem, inventor of the south-pointing chariot, came to be known by this name is the least bit surprising. I love that, the south-pointing chariot. That's so curious in my mind. What is the south-pointing chariot? Hebei province today borders the capital city Beijing of People's Republic of China on the northwest and south. But the first time I came across this, the south-pointing chariot. He was the inventor of the south-pointing chariot. That made me think, did he invent a chariot that always pointed south, no matter what? Because that wouldn't be much use if you were in battle and you had to find a way to point your chariot in a different direction. But this chariot only pointed south. I don't know what that meant, but I doubt that it meant that. But that's a fascinating thing, that the Yellow Emperor was the inventor of the south-pointing chariot. And his Chinese name, the Yellow Emperor's name, his family name was, or full name, was Gongsun Xuanwan. But he was also known as the Yellow Emperor Huangdi. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the Huangdi the way the Chinese do. I doubt it. Let's see if we can find out from here or not. I didn't indicate the accents for those names previously, it looks like. Maybe I did somewhere. There it is. Huangdi. Huangdi, the one we call Heber. Yeah, I did indicate it just previously in this paragraph. Huangdi, the Yellow Emperor, the one we call Heber, and Yandi is his father, whom we call Shelah. Phenomenal that we have documented. I mean, I was so intent on documenting this because I knew that it could be lost and just forgotten. And the reason it would be so easy to forget about is because it's so hard to prove it. So I knew I had to write it down and get it documented, and that's why I was in the state of mind described in this paragraph where I said we didn't have time to do anything like consider our grave doubts, right? Because if we had considered any grave doubts, speaking of myself, about the identity of these people, I wouldn't have written this article, because it was, or this paragraph, to say the least. So we had time for a lot of things, but not for any of the doubts that would cause us to not write this. For me to not write this, I wanted to write this to document it, because it's so significant and so important, when in fact it is true. Now, this is the end of this study for today, little children. Well, we've got more upcoming, but we're progressing towards the end of this article now. There are 12 chapters, so we're in chapter 8. Now, that was chapter 8, paragraph 6. That means we are halfway done this chapter, which has 12 paragraphs. As also, does the article have 12 chapters? So 12 times 12, 144 paragraphs in the article, in all. But that concludes our study for today. Yeah. And I do watch a lot of the news, but there's so much that can't be watched on YouTube nowadays. There's so many false headlines and misleading headlines, and almost every headline is misleading. It's what's called clickbait. It's what it is. It's what you would refer to as clickbait, because it's a headline solely put there for the purpose of getting you to click on it. And it doesn't indicate the truth, and in many cases it's blatantly false headlines. And you have to learn, I've been learning, at least, which channels are trustworthy and which are not. And then just avoiding the ones that are not trustworthy, because they just promulgate lies, completely false stories about things that aren't real. Like, for example, Elon Musk is a very well-known entrepreneur and businessman and inventor, but he's running a number of different companies all at the same time, inventing different products like robots and cars. But there's a channel out there that presents almost, I think, every day, it seems. Maybe the videos aren't every day, but I see them almost every day. A video about Elon Musk just released a new product, which is utterly blatantly false. And so it's just clickbait. And Elon Musk didn't do those things that they're claiming. Not that he didn't do a lot of things, but he didn't do what they're claiming in that case, in those cases of all those false videos that are out and on YouTube about Elon Musk. So that's just one example, but that's not the only thing that's out there that's false. It's just a lot of stuff there that you have to be aware of that's completely misleading. All the headlines are usually misleading, and I've come to realize that I need to avoid every headline that says something like, you won't believe this, or you are not going to believe, or this is the best ever, is another headline that I have to avoid a lot of times, to do with sporting events. I don't usually avoid them always, because if I'm interested in watching some of the tennis, or the short videos about tennis where they say this is the best ever, such and such, I might watch it. But in general, those are 1-minute videos, so I'm not losing a lot of time But there's no such thing as the best ever. It's a subjective thing, the best ever. There's no such thing as the best ever. So all these headlines that say the best ever, or you won't believe this, it's just a clickbait that, of course, you know, you will believe it, probably, you know, or I will. So I feel I don't, but they're presumptuous headlines that are not, they're not telling you what's really in the video. And they're not honest, and therefore the videos are not worth watching, generally. And there are a lot of them. But I mean, when I say a lot, it's more like 95% or something. At least, at times that's how I feel. But there are times when I can't click on any videos at all that are on the screen that I'm looking at. Because I know that none of them are going to give me any information that's useful. So I'm looking at YouTube, refreshing it all the time. Or frequently. Nowadays I am. I'm refreshing it more frequently nowadays than I was. But now that I've learned which channels are, you know, misleading, you know, I'm not wasting as much time watching all the false videos. Well, I think it's safe to say that there is no more pollen in the air now. I don't have to run my HEPA filters. We must have had a serious frost at some point. I was out shopping yesterday, and that had nothing to do with the pollen. I needed to get some food. And the road is a little bit slippery because the snow had formed a little bit of ice. That it was, I guess it had fallen more as rain than snow. But we had gotten some slippery patches on the road, so I was walking. It's good exercise to walk, though. But I had to be a little careful walking to the store and back, pulling my wagon that I bought on Amazon. So these wagons are pretty useful, I think. They're not very expensive. A lot of things are not very expensive on Amazon, which is good. I got some new hats. Oh, yeah. I got these new hats on Amazon. It's three of them for $20. I got three hats, which are partly supposed to be 50% merino wool. So, put it on. See. You know. So I've got three different hats, three different colors. This is from Amazon, though. I didn't have to go anywhere. I just ordered this and had it delivered by Amazon. There's a burgundy, a red color, and a gray one also. There's three of these for that price, which is amazing considering they are said to have merino wool in them. Oh, look, there's a tiny label. I can barely read. 50% acrylic, 50% wool. Oh, I don't know if it's merino wool then in that case, but they say it is. Yeah. 50% wool, anyway. It feels very soft, so that would mean merino wool. Normal wool would be very scratchy compared to merino. But it's just for the price. I had to do a lot of shopping, though, on Amazon to find that particular one at that price. Three of them for the price of normally less than one. You'd pay $30 for a hat that had merino wool in it, or even some of them that didn't have any wool. Just acrylic for $30 for one hat. And I bought one like that, actually. But it was a brand name hat by Mountain Hardware. Last time I looked, it had not been delivered, but let's see, maybe it has now. Has it been delivered now or not? No, it says it hasn't been. Now, what's the brand of this? Henihou. It's the brand of those hats. Henihou, it's Chinese, I believe. that the Chinese once again proving that they can beat the prices of just about anybody else on, in this case, on clothing. But it's just, who's going to wear that hat? But this hat, some of them are folded. They fold up like this one does. It folds, the brim of it folds up, but also you can pull it down. Whereas some of the, I forget what they're called. They're not called brim hats, but some of the hats that have this folded part are sewn. They're sewn together. You can't pull them down. You don't have the option. So this is even better than what I thought I was getting, actually. I didn't know this was like this. This so that for the price, this is like four times better than, or five, I don't know, ten times better than what you would expect to get for that price. It's just amazing. That's just one product. But it took a lot of shopping to find it. I didn't find it quickly. A lot of Amazon search. I mean, searching on Amazon, just browsing Amazon, looking at every type of hat, and searching Amazon, of course, using the search bar of Amazon. So, we are just about coming to the end of our study time as well. I've been contemplating whether I want to go back and play some piano in the studio or play some instrument or write a song. I'm contemplating that all the time. But I realize once I get started on that, it's a world in itself. You get lost in that. I'm playing this, I'm still listening to this piece of music, the Hurrian Arc. It won't sound right. It won't sound correct because the microphone's facing the wrong way, but the thing is, there's a place in this where I made a mistake with my left hand, right? And then, yeah. Anyway, after I made that mistake with my left hand, I started improvising with the right hand, trying to make it sound like the mistake I made with the left hand. So it's got a lot of interesting things that I enjoy listening to after the fact. But that's it for today. It's December 1st, first day of December, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 2:15 hours North American Eastern Time. Once again, thank you so much for listening and watching. And I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Sissy. This is Star saying bye for now. That was Chapter 8, Paragraph 6 of the Arc of Your World to the Orient Express, our study article for today and for this time period that we're including today. So, bye for now, once again.